You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Justin Thomas wins his first major at the USPGA Championship.
This was really cool for this to be my first one and have my dad here. And I know Grandpa was watching at home. I was able to talk to him, and that was pretty cool. It's just a great win for the family, and it's a moment we'll never forget, all of us.
Thomas's father and grandfather were both PGA professionals, and he did them proud at Quail Hollow. So there's no career slam for Jordan Spieth yet, but he's not too downcast.
Overall, when I look back on the year and the major championships, shoot, it was fantastic. If I did this every year, I'd go down as the greatest to ever play the game. So I need to look at it that way, and I am.
Stay with us as we review all the action from the year's final major. Before we look ahead to both events on the European Tour this week, the Soltai MG Paul Laurie Match Play and the Fiji International. Robert Lee, and I'm joined this week by Jamie Spence. Jamie, how are you?
I'm really well, Rob. Enjoyed last night's viewing, watching the final major of the year, and what a great performance by Justin Thomas, especially on the back nine.
It certainly was, and we should really talk to one man who was actually there himself, who joins us when the big ones come around, Bob Bubka. Bob, how are you?
Hey, guys, doing great. What an exciting week, and certainly a justifiable winner. He's a real talent. You know, a couple of years ago when the young guns were emerging, they were talking about Jordan Spieth, and they were talking about, Ricky Fowler and all those guys. Justin Thomas was regarded as having more talent than any of them. But now, finally, he demonstrated it on the big stage. And I'll say this much, it's a little tougher now next year to win a major because we got a key player that hits it far, is a good putter, showed yesterday he can handle the pressure. We're going to be hearing a lot more from Justin Thomas. He became, guys, the eighth son of a PGA professional to win the PGA Championship.
Yeah, that is pretty impressive. Jamie, I mean, you're very heavily involved in Ryder Cups, and we're going to be getting into Ryder Cup qualification pretty soon now. They have got a brat pack. They all hung around Spieth, Bud Cawley, Ricky Fowler, at the end to congratulate another one of their buddies. They've got something going over there.
Yeah, they have. Spieth, good friend of Thomas. I thought that picture of Spieth and Justin Thomas on the way home from the Open Championship just made me think. I tipped Thomas last week for the Bridgestone. I just thought that just might give him a spark, and so it's proved. You could add quite a few other Americans into the mix as well. They've got a really good... Daniel Berger's a really good player I rate as well. Mm-hmm. So they've got some fantastic talent, and this Thomas hits the ball so far. I mean, his driver on the back nine really worked for him incredibly well on 15, 16. It just smashed it over that bunker. But really, the two shots were on the par threes. That's what won it for him.
Yeah, Bob, they're all very different players. Ricky Fowler obviously hasn't won his major yet. Jordan Spieth, we know, is a multi-major winner. But of all of them, do you think Justin Thomas is the guy that goes for it the most?
I would not surprise me if 10 years from now, between Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, the guy that has the most majors is Justin Thomas.
What about that, Jamie?
What about Brooks Koepka? What about Dustin Johnson? They've got some players.
Dustin's nearly 10 years older than these guys we're talking about.
I always thought Justin Thomas, maybe his control. He hits the ball so hard, doesn't he?
Yeah.
To control that consistently, my view would be, isn't that easy to do? I thought the golf course suited him. It was very, very long. He got the driver in his hand, drove the ball very, very well. But yeah, I'm not going to argue with Bob. I mean, it's an abundance of riches over there.
It looked like Kevin Kisner had played some sparkling golf, Bob, but he was the one that kind of fell away in the final round, and it got very congested at the top.
It really did. He was under complete control. Kevin Kisner had really had a lot going for him, maybe too much. He has a 93-year-old grandmother that lives within 5 miles of Quail Hollow. He has relatives that are members there. He grew up in the Charlotte area, so he had a tremendous amount of support from the fans. And maybe, if there is such a thing, he had too much support and he just couldn't live up to their wishes.
You know, Jamie, when I watch Kevin Kisner go around the golf course, I'm not sure whether he's just made a double or he's just made an eagle. I'm not too sure. He doesn't give much away. I don't get anything out of watching him. But when I watch Thomas, you know, he's living on his heartstrings a little bit. You can see how he feels. And he's going to be so marketable.
Yeah, but every player is different, aren't they? I mean, you look at the two South Africans who stays in shorts, well, they don't give much away on the golf course, but they're fine players. So everyone's got different emotions when they play golf. It was always going to be a tough day for Kisner. Going out last in any tournament is a big deal. Being chased down by big players in a huge tournament and a major. He shot 74. Just unravel for him a bit. And Chris Stroud as well. He won his first event in the PGA Tour, fine enough, the previous week.
Week before, yeah.
Yeah, and he shot 76 yesterday. It was always going to be a tough day.
Chris Stroud has obviously made the big breakthrough the week before, Bob. But hopefully he never actually gets to repeat his practice swing with his real swing.
He was the Cinderella story. I mean, he had to be in a playoff. And I felt bad for Greg Owen, who's been around the scene for a long time. He was involved in that playoff out at Reno. Had Greg Owen won, he would have been at the PGA Championship. But I think one thing I want to mention about Kevin Kisner, because I really think it's unusual and it's worth telling. 2 days after he won the Colonial this year, his caddy, Dwayne Bach, woke up, looked out in his driveway and said, "What the heck is that?" Walked out there. There was a brand new pickup truck with a little note on the steering wheel saying, "Thanks for your work last week. You were great." And that's a player giving a caddy a brand new pickup truck based on the work he did the week before. I think that kind of elevates Kevin Kisner in my book to somebody that's a real special guy.
Well, I've just seen Jamie Spence, Bob. You can't see him shrivel in his seat at the thought of going out the next week and buying a brand new car for his caddy.
Or myself, for that matter. What a waste of money.
It's obviously proving that he's a very nice guy. Yeah, a very nice guy.
And that when you win and you everything that comes with it, it's nice to, you know, pass some of that on to the people that you care about, your family, and he's able to do things that he wouldn't have been able to do. So
listen,
he's thinking of others.
Listen,
Rob,
if you think your caddy is having a 10% effect on what you do and you win,
I would have thought 10% he can go and buy his own car. But there you go.
Yeah.
But a bad finish for Kisner yesterday. Bogeyed 16, doubled the last. He was second on his own with three to play.
Yeah.
So he threw away some cash there. So maybe he'll get the wheels back from the truck.
Maybe he'll take it back. But I don't think he's bothered about money right now. He's making enough money. He's doing pretty well, Kevin Kisner. But a late developer.
Very talented golfer. He's the was a four-time All-American at the University of Georgia. They won the NCAA championship with him on the team. So, but it took him a little while to, you know, go through the mini tours, and he's hung in there. But when you look at the defeat of Kevin Kisner this weekend, you really don't have to look at Sunday. You have to go back to Saturday, where he was playing perfect golf. He comes to the 16th hole, the treacherous long par four with water left. He drove it in the left rough. He had exercised patience all along. This time he decided to try and take on the green from a horrible lie, puts it in the water, makes double bogey, and that was the first crack in the armor. And then, of course, it got wider on Sunday.
Yeah, sometimes you're not being brave by going for the green. You're being brave by laying up and making sure you make five at the worst. And that was a mistake late on round three for Kevin Kisner. Going into the final round, getting into the sort of meat of it, into the back nine. In fact, the first hole of the back nine for the winner, Justin Thomas, that putt from, what, 6 or 7 feet that hung on the lip?
Well, what about the three wood from 300 yards to get it to the back of the green? Probably hit about 320 with the three wood.
It flew nearly 300 into the middle of the green.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, the best shot I've seen all year was the three wood here at the last in Erin Hills on the Saturday.
Erin Hills,
yeah. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was.
So,
and he held the putt.
When he launched that one from 300, you think, well, this is on the green. I mean, it was an incredible shot, and then the putt just hung on there. But it was well within the time limit you're allowed, so...
Yeah, it was fine.
I think that, but at that point you think, well, don't forget the drive hit the tree and spat out into the fairway for him to be able to hit the green. So I think at that point you must have thought, do you know what, this could be mine today.
And then follows that, Bob, a few holes later with a chip in.
Yeah, absolutely. Things went his way. Even on 17, when he hit that spectacular shot into that par three, the putt literally went in the back door. But as you guys know a heck of a lot better than me, that's what happens to people that win golf tournaments. Those lip-outs turn into lip-ins, and, you know, you hit a tree and it goes in the fairway, and instead of going deeper into the woods. I think one thing happened yesterday that we haven't mentioned yet, guys, but I'm starting to lean towards the idea that the winning a major might be too much pressure for Hideki Matsuyama. I mean, the Japanese media that were in attendance going into yesterday's round, I guarantee you when he woke up in the morning, when he got in front of the first person from the media, they wanted to know, you know, how were your eggs this morning? Did you have them sunny side? Did you have them scrambled? I mean, the intense media pressure that Hideki Matsuyama goes through is incredible. And then when you put him in contention at a major, I think he showed some signs yesterday of the pressure really getting to him.
So, of course, Bob, you know we record these shows and file them in alphabetical order so we can look back on things that people say many years later. Are you saying that Hideki Matsuyama is not going to win a major?
No, I can't say that because his talent's too great. I'm saying that besides learning how to play the game, learning how to act in, you know, and doing it on the biggest stage, which would be a major golf tournament, he's got to learn to deal with the enormous pressure of having a country clinging to every step he takes and just almost wishing beyond belief. I mean, I talked to several Japanese members of the media yesterday. I consider them friends. I mean, they were so nervous. They you know, it just had to make Hideki nervous. But he is a tremendous talent. I think he is destined, though, to become the first Japanese player ever to win a golf major.
Listen, Ryo Ishikawa has had to endure every Japanese potential. Ozaki, Jumbo Ozaki had to do it. Every potential Japanese great player.
Don't you think he just left his best golf at Firestone the previous week? You can't keep doing that.
You can't keep doing it, can you?
61 was just incredible.
You know, through the turn of the year, as we went into 2017, he was untouchable.
He was, yeah.
He couldn't finish outside the top five. His conversion rate was like 1 in 2.
How many shots did he hit when he took his hand off the club?
Almost every shot.
But not all the shots.
That does annoy you, doesn't it?
Well, it does annoy me. He just wasn't on his game. I think he did well to hang on for as long as he did, to be honest with you. He wasn't playing well.
But a definite major winner in waiting?
It has to be, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And some good European performances as well, Jamie.
Well, Francesco Molinari, he did very, very well. Hang in there. You know, he had a chance to win, didn't he?
Great
Francesco
part of the last.
Yeah, Jordan Smith was did very well in his first trip over to the States as well to finish in the top 10. But apart from that, Rob, there's not much to talk about.
Louis Oosthuizen and Patrick Reed, European Tour member.
European Tour members.
Yes.
Or European players.
Well, members.
European Tour members, yes.
Because you can play if you remember.
Stenson did all right. Remember. He played pretty well, finished under par. So good. And then Rory, well, we'll maybe talk about him in a bit.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's hear from the USPGA champion now, Justin Thomas.
It was a crazy day. Had to be an unbelievable watching day in terms of spectating and sitting at home watching on TV. I mean, I forget what hole it was. I think walking up to 12 green, there was maybe five of us at 7 under. And I had no idea it was that close. I mean, I kind of thought it was Hideki and I were, you know, at around 7 or 8 or whatever he was, or 6 or 7, and then some other guys. And then I saw P. Reed was playing well. I saw Rick was kind of making a run. I saw Francesco was up there. And then obviously Kiz and Stroud behind us. To see that was kind of crazy. And then that chip in on 13 was probably the most berserk I've ever gone on the golf course. I'm kind of interested to see how I looked for that. But, it was nice. You know, I made hit a bad tee shot on 14, but got out of there with a good par. And then, I hit a good little pitch after a chunk to 5 iron and then just missed the putt on 15. So I kind of, I played 16, 17, 18 well all week, I felt like. And it wasn't like, I mean, obviously I'm nervous, I want to win, but I was a lot more comfortable and calm than I thought I would be. So just kind of going through those holes knowing that, you know, I've done this a million times. I know that's cliche and everyone says it, but, and Jimmy did an unbelievable job of keeping me calm. So felt like it was a great team win for us. This was really cool for me to be my first one and have my dad here. And I know Grandpa was watching at home. I was able to talk to him, and that was pretty cool. It's just a great win for the family, and it's a moment we'll never forget, all of us.
Gosh, I'm pleased about that, because when he was interviewed last night on television, when he said, "But I'm sad my grandpa couldn't be here," I thought it was because his grandpa passed away.
Yeah, he really wasn't feeling well, but he was watching every single shot. And he pretty much gave us the formula for winning, as Jamie referenced a little earlier. I mean, what happened on 13, you know, with that tee shot that hits that tree, that could have went anywhere. And then he chips it in. But he's a lovely young man. Obviously, the son of a PGA professional. He knows how to conduct himself. He's somebody that's going to be around for a while, and I was happy that he gave some credit. You guys probably know him as well as I do, but Jimmy Johnson, his caddy, who played a lot of golf on the South African tour, was on the bag a long time for Steve Stricker. I believe it's Jimmy's first major, so a big shout out to Jimmy Johnson, the caddy, because he's one of the best out there. And if you watch closely during that fourth and final round, very calm, never got excited, just completely low-key in a high-pressure situation, which was exactly what Justin Thomas needed.
I was pleased to hear young Thomas know where he was in the back nine. He looked at the leaderboard and he saw how tight it was and who was doing what. He was keeping an eye on things. This goes back to my old bugbear, and I was really pleased to hear Mark James in commentary last night say that if you look at a leaderboard, you're relishing the competition, and if you don't look at a leaderboard, you're scared of the competition.
Yeah, I heard that. It was a good point, wasn't it? I totally agree with that. You want to know 1,000%. Where you are, because especially on a golf course like that, when you've got that much length as well, where you can take holes on or maybe not, you want to know how you stand in the back nine in the tournament. So yeah, I totally agree with that, Rob.
Would you like to give us the top 10 there, Jamie? Please.
Would you like me to?
I would.
Okay. Well,
and Bob
I will.
Is gagging for a top 10 readout.
He's probably not aware of this, is he?
It's coming.
It's coming, right? Okay. Tied ninth was Chris Stroud, Jason Day, Matt Kuchar, and Jordan Smith. Tied seventh, Graham DeLatte. What a Saturday he had with Kevin Kisner. Tied fifth were Ricky Fowler and Hideki Matsuyama. Majors just around the corner for those two, we hope. Tied second, Molinari, Patrick Reed, and Louis Oosthuizen. And our chap, Justin Thomas.
And he was, Justin, that is, in the top two players in driving distance. No surprise, 328 yards. That's average. And for a large part of the weekend, there was no run at all. So he was thumping it miles. And putts per green in regulation, 1.6. I mean, sometimes stats just bewilder you, don't they?
Well, hit the ball a long way and putt great, you're going to win.
Yeah.
That's what that says.
That's pretty good. It's his third victory of this year and fourth of this season. A season that's seen him record a 59 at the Sony Open in Hawaii and a 63, by the way, at the US Open, which at 9-under broke the record to par at that event. Social media reaction, Justin Thomas himself says, hoping I wake up tomorrow and this isn't all a dream. Very nice. Brooks Koepka said, showed a lot of class and grit down the stretch. Congrats, PGA champ Justin Thomas. Ernie said, congratulations, Justin Thomas, PGA champ, the first of many more to come for you. Tiger was tweeting as well. He said, congrats, JT. Way to rise above the carnage on that back nine. Justin Thomas, 34. And let's say, I mean, everyone, Tiger must be just gnashing his teeth, sitting in the background watching all this golf and thinking, am I ever going to get back there? I feel for Tiger Woods.
Yeah, of course you do. It's great that he's reacted like that and keeps sending out the tweets to all the champions, but he'd like to be amongst them.
Cool, wouldn't he, Justin? With that much competitive nature, let's hope he gets back to some sort of physical health and he can contend again. What about the other contenders then? Best ever for Molinari in terms of a major finish?
Yeah, best before that was at Muirfield, where he finished tied seventh, I think. So, yeah, and he had a chance. He put himself into contention. Played some good stuff on a course probably should suited him, because I mean he hits an arrow straight, doesn't he, Frank? And he held a few putts just as well. Changed his putting grip again to the claw, Frankie. I think that's going to work for him.
Okay.
So yeah, pleased for him.
And Patrick Reed, Bob, that's his best finish in a major.
Yeah, I mean he showed such brilliance playing Ryder Cup that we thought maybe it was going to be a breakthrough year for him in the majors. He didn't demonstrate that talent until yesterday. And he's another player that, you know, in their 20s that certainly has a wealth of talent. I was just reading some text messages that I got yesterday, and I think this one's worth reading. I had text to Kevin Kisner's caddy, who I know grew up in my area, said, today we got to be great at the things that take no talent. Toughness will win this golf tournament. And that's exactly what Justin Thomas demonstrated.
Now, what about Jordan Spieth? The Open champion arrived at Quail Hollow hoping to complete a career Grand Slam, but he finished tied 28th, triggering some words of comfort from his caddy.
So Michael's telling me walking off 18 today, he goes, hey, just want you to know that's a great year in the majors. I go, buddy, we won one of the majors. I understand that's a great year in the majors. I go, I appreciate you, you know, coming on. I mean, he almost thinks I'm disappointed maybe with kind of how this week went. But, I mean, we won a major. We had a chance to win at Augusta, too. Yeah, the U.S. Open in here are, you know, I didn't have a chance to win, which is, you know, a downer. But overall, when I look back on the year and the major championships, shoot, it was fantastic. If I did this every year, I'd go down as the greatest to ever play the game. So I need to look at it that way, and I am.
A remarkable young man. Every time Jordan Spieth opens his mouth, he comes out with stuff that sounds obvious at the time, but it really does cut to the heart of the chase.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, he's got a very wise head on those very young shoulders, and he's great talent. I just think that the golf course off the tee maybe was a bit of a stretch for him. Bob's there, he'd be able to tell us more on that. But what a great year he's had. Tough to, I mean, when you think that Arnold Palmer, Tom Watson have never won a US PGA Championship to complete their career Grand Slams, well, Spieth's got a lot of time ahead of him to do that, as has Rory in his quest for his with the Masters as well. So I'm sure it'll come in time.
Only five players, Bob, in the history of golf have won all four. Do you know who they are?
Absolutely. It would be Gene Sarazen, I think, Ben Hogan,
correct.
Tiger Woods,
correct.
Gary Player,
correct.
And of course, Jack Nicklaus. The interesting thing about Jack Nicklaus, we celebrated this week Phil Mickelson and Ernie Els playing in their 100th major. You know how many Jack Nicklaus played? 164. 164 majors played by Jack Nicklaus. Another piece of worthless information, which I am noted for, the last six winners of major championships have had six letters in their first name and six letters in their last name.
And Jack, I don't think Mr. Major from the early 60s to the very late 90s. So for over 30 years, he hadn't missed a major championship. That's remarkable for two things, that you can play that well for that long and also be fit and healthy, Bob, for that long.
Well, obviously, if 164 majors, I was trying to figure out if he played 40 years, it'd only be 160 majors if he played in every one. So for over 40 years, he played in major championships and was a competitor. But I think that's overwhelming, that number of 164 majors played in. Just remarkable.
It is. He is absolutely. He is the person that everyone aspires to be. Jack Nicklaus still is an incredible golfer. Okay, let's hear from the pre-tournament favorite, Rory McIlroy, who spoke after a final round of 68, which left him tied for 22nd.
If you can get off to that good start, it's really the key to this golf course. And I didn't get off to that good start for a couple of days, and yeah, that's why I'm not on that putting green warming up to go out and play now. Right now I can feel my left rhomboid going into spasm. It's sort of the way it has been for the last few weeks. I've upped my practice over, you know, coming into these two events because I wanted to feel like I was in a good place in my game. But yeah, right now it's a tough one because I can go out there and I can play and I can shoot decent scores. But when I come off the course, you know, as I said, I feel this left rhomboid going to spasm. Inside my left arm goes numb. So I'm just, yeah, I don't know what to do. I've got this next week off to assess. I don't know what I'm going to do. You mightn't see me until next year. You might see me in a couple of weeks' time. It really, really depends.
Obviously, Rory's got to sort out what he's got to do, Jamie, to get healthy. But you do hear the misfiring glutes was the Tiger one. Now, what was the stress rhomboid?
Yeah, spasm. The rhomboid spasming. Yeah, he's just had with injury and everything else going on, he's changed his clubs. He's got married as well.
But, you know, but life happens when you're a golfer.
Of course it does.
Life
of course it does. But the injury is just dragging. You can just sense it's just dragging him down. He thinks he's got over it. Then he goes and presses on the range and it comes back. And then he realises, well, I might have to take another 6 weeks out, which he doesn't want to do. And then, of course, it takes you another 4 or 5 weeks to get back into competitive mode. So it's an awful cycle, circle there.
You go backwards to go forwards all the time.
Absolutely. So what he's thinking straight away when he comes off the course there is, I need to stop and get this sorted. That's what he's saying.
And Bob, obviously, the career Grand Slam wasn't achieved for Jordan Spieth. So now Rory gets his crack at the Masters in April.
Yeah, and there's a very good possibility we're not going to see Rory McIlroy again. A lot of the Irish reporters spent quite a bit of time with him. You heard it in that clip He alluded to it a little bit. He was almost more definite in the private conversations that he had. A little inside on your show, though, I was thinking because of the new caddy and because of the way Rory McIlroy drove the ball, the headline probably should read, Diamond in the Rough.
Oh, I see what you did there, Bob. I see what you did there. Harry Diamond, who's Rory's best mate. He was best man at the wedding.
Well, that's another one. Caddy. We throw the caddy situation again. Yeah. He needs a top caddy. It's pretty, you know, there's no doubt about it. That's got to help him as well.
Yeah, as Rory's got stuff on his in tray at the minute, so he's got to get that sorted out, particularly the fitness thing. I don't worry about his game whatsoever.
Can't pull fat, Rob.
You can't pull fat. Is that? Are you saying that's why Monty stayed so, you know, physically unblemished for his entire career?
Never
played
injured.
And played and played.
Never injured.
It is quite. Who said that? That line came from.
Butch Harmon said.
But I think it was Tim Herron said that. It came from Tim Herron, who, as you know, is not the slimmest person in the world, and he said you can't pull fat.
Got a point.
Yeah, I think. Bob, there's balance with all these things. You know, it almost seems like if you don't go and pound the gym for 2 hours a day, you should be suffering some sort of guilt complex. So there is a balance between being fit to do what you do or overdoing it.
Well, I think I'm really living proof that you can pull fat and still do your job. Let's establish that right now.
Oh, dear. No gym for you today then, Bob.
Yeah, Jim Beam.
Jim Beam. I'm trying to work out the time difference now. It'll be a very early Jim Beam for you. Some other top shots from the PGA Championship. Joost Luiten had a hole-in-one on the fourth on the first day. Graeme Dillette hit the hole with his tee shot for what would have been a hole-in-one albatross at the par 4 14th on Saturday. That would have been very rare.
Yeah, he went eagle-eagle, didn't he? Eagle 15 as well. So, he's an enigmatic player, shall we say, Graeme Dillette?
He's the guy
that great things, isn't he?
He's the guy that's got to learn to get out over the line because he plays so well. He doesn't keep his best golf for Sunday afternoon.
No,
and he's got to find out a way to do that because he can certainly play. Remember to go to European Tour Twitter and Facebook pages to see the best shots of the week from Quail Hollow as well as other great content. Race to Dubai tips this week. Let's have a look and a trawl through this. I went for Rory McIlroy and Hideki Matsuyama finishing 22nd and 5th.
You stuck your neck out there, Rob, didn't you?
It's a major.
The two favourites.
It's a major. John Hawksworth went for Jordan Spieth, 28th, and Rory, 22nd. And Bob Bubka, you went for Dustin Johnson, Bob, who finished inside the top 15, 13th. And John Rahm, who had it going on Saturday and then let it go at the end with a bunch of double bogeys. He finished tied 58th.
I didn't do well, did I?
Well, I think as it was the last one of the year, I put it down to fatigue.
Suffers from mental fatigue.
Yeah. The man who can't pull fat.
Well, I'm going to work on my predicting game over the winter. I guarantee you when April comes, I'm going to have that winner picked out and sorted, and I'll deliver it to you in a gift wrap package.
Well, that's just exactly what we love to hear. Bob, listen, thank you very much for all the hard work you do for us, joining us on the Race to Dubai show. And for you, it's always at whatever o'clock it is in the morning. Thank you so, so much for your efforts.
Hey, thank you, guys. Jamie, good working with you. Rob Lee, as you know, always a pleasure. And I'm honored to be on with you.
Oh, Bob's always such good fun. God, he's been following golf now for a long, long time. He's an encyclopedia when it comes to golf, particularly the great players and the majors. Okay, in the fancy Race to Dubai game, Elizabeth H continues to head the global standings, while Andrew Hancock won the most points last week. And in the Race to Dubai show mini league, the Sean Ryder Cup, Neil Morrison leads the way, but Nick Doherty did the best out of the US PGA Championship. Remember to head to EuropeanTour.com for the Fantasy 3 to watch this week. So, Jamie, top 10 in the Race to Dubai, please.
Well, Rob, in 10th place is the Austrian Bernd Wiesberger. Rory has slipped down to number 9. Ross Fischer is at 8. Justin Rose at 7. Molinari's moved up to number 6. And the top 5, Alex Noren at 5. Cabrera Bayo is at 4. John Rahm at 3. The third Spaniard in the top 5, Sergio at number 2, and Tommy Fleetwood is still our number 1.
Which leads us to the top 10 in the world rankings.
In 10th is Ricky Fowler, 9th, Henrik Stenson, Jason Day is at 8, John Rahm at 7, the new USPGA champion Justin Thomas goes up to number 6, Masters champion Sergio at 5, Rory is at 4, the Open champion Jordan Spieth at 3, Hideki Matsuyama at 2, and Dustin Johnson is still the world number 1.
Thanks, Jamie. Now, in other news, Robin Skiosigris came through 30 holes of golf plus a shootout playoff, crikey, on the final day to claim a maiden European Challenge Tour win at the Galgorm Resort and Spa Northern Ireland Open presented by Modest Golf. The so-called Shootout Sunday was a series of six-hole head-to-head stroke play matches with Skiosigris defeating Alessandro Tadini by two strokes in the final. That's kind of a format, Jamie, that might sort of get a bit of leverage and a bit of a heads up going forward.
Perth International, wasn't it? Yes. Played there. I like that.
Do you know everyone I spoke to that played in that, Robert Allenby and a bunch of players that went down for that, said it was great.
Yeah, I don't want to see it every week, but I think if you get two or three of those through the year on all sorts of tours, it's a good thing. I think the players will love it as well.
Yeah, good for Keith Pelly and the tour for trying out different methods, that's for sure. Meanwhile, Paula Creamer has replaced the injured Jessica Corder in the United States team for the Solheim Cup coming up in a few days in Iowa. The former world number two sunk the winning putt for the Americans 2 years ago, but has fallen out of the world's top 100 in recent months, so they're hardly bringing in a ringer, are they?
Nice to have a replacement of that quality and of that ilk.
Well, if you're European, then they must be, you know, doing the Solheim Cup dance.
But Jessica Corder's been a good player as well, so they're missing her talents. But
Creamer
hasn't played that well.
I'm saying the tour, the European girls, would be thrilled that Creamer's in.
No, they will
not
be.
Not inside the world's top 100. That's the person you brought in.
Yeah, but it's still match play, isn't it? It's not a stroke play event. She's got that experience. I don't know. I don't know whether it's that great a news for the. It's going to be a tough gig for a European
team.
Does
it show you how weak the American ladies are if they've got to bring in into the top 12 someone not in the world's top 100?
Well, I'm presuming there are other players who they could have selected, but they went for the experience of Paula Creamer.
Amazing. I think that's an amazing pick. That really, with lack of form, amazing pick.
Well, they've got a lot of youngsters in their team. Maybe she feels she needs the experience to match them up.
But you know what? If you've got no game and you go to a Solheim Cup, you're not going to find it.
No, I go along
you
with
can't,
that.
You, with the pressure of it, you've
well,
got
to... Ryder Cup.
It's the same as Ryder Cup.
Getting in the team is one thing.
Yeah.
You've got to turn up playing well, otherwise it's going to be a horrible experience.
You've got to be bringing it. You don't want to be on that range like Jesper Parnevik has been and other players
trying
to find it on the range. It's horrible.
No, yeah. You just feel like you're not part of the team.
Well, and then you feel that the team's got to protect you because they can't put you out. They're not playing you because your form's bad. I'm amazed at that. Absolutely amazed. And the Europeans are going to be taking something out of that, I would fancy. Now, there are going to be changes in a couple of years' time to what happens in the world of golf because the BMW PGA Championship will move from its current date in May to a new September slot from 2019 onwards. The prestigious championship at Wentworth, which is part of the European Tour's Rolex series, moves in time for its 65th anniversary edition in 2 years' time. This follows news that the 2019 US PGA Championship will move from August to May, with the Players' Championship on the PGA Tour moving from May to March. You'll have the Players' Championship in March, then you'll have the Masters, then you'll have the PGA, then the US Open, and then the Open, all occupying 1 month at a time in a row.
That's exactly right, yeah. That's what's going to happen. And, of course, our BMW PGA Championships moved to the autumn, which actually Wentworth probably been better nicked that time of the year anyway.
Wentworth was always better. When they had the match play...
Yeah,
in the autumn, it was always better than it was in the springtime for the PGA Championship. So maybe course preparation wise, it's a better move for the PGA. For our PGA, the BMW PGA.
In some ways, and in some ways not. I think it'd be good. It's good to have an early season big event to bring some players back here. Obviously, the PGA Tour can't sell anything around the NFL. Once the NFL gets kicking up in that September time through to early January, really, they're going to struggle. So that's got to be
that's why they're getting it done early.
And that's got to be our golden time. So it's a changing world.
Now, big week coming up on the European Tour with two events at the same time. Let's concentrate on the first of those, a change of venue. It's going from Scotland to Germany. The Soltar Energy Paul Laurie match play will be going to Bad Griesbach, Jamie.
Yes, a nice resort course there, Rob, in southern Germany, a couple of hours from Munich. I'm going over there, of course. You've been there.
Yeah, it's a bit of altitude there. The little village, Bad Griesbach, is a spa town. Yeah. There's a bit of an alpine feel to it. It's very nice.
Jodelay.
Well, something like that. And
straight knockout. So you don't get paid if you get beat in the first round. So I'm looking forward to the first round games because... You want to get through that first round. As a professional golfer, you want to get paid.
The first day is the most exciting day because you've got so much going on.
Yeah, and so you want to win. Pretty obvious, you want to win your first round game, but they're the important ones. So there's going to be a lot of tension that first day. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, how good is that last hole in Bad Griesbach?
Fantastic. Long, tough par four with all the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough, tough hole. But how many games will go to the last?
always, yeah.
Probably 30%, 40% maybe. And you're telling me that a par is going to win that hole easily.
Well, remember the playoff. I know that Alex Levy made a 30-footer for his birdie against Ross Fisher, but par on that last hole, because the tee shot's demanding and so is the second shot, it is you're not going to lose to a par.
But I always think in match play, you want a good putter. I think it's a great leveler in match play as well. You've got to play well as well.
No, sure.
So, Anthony Wall's the defending champion, won very, very well last year. I'm looking for a good putter.
Well, give us a clue who's playing.
But they're all good putters, aren't they?
They are.
Well, Nicholas Coulthard is playing. Richie Ramsey's been playing well lately.
Yeah, he has.
He's playing. Victor Dubuisson. What do we make of Victor? Why is he not playing as well as he used to?
He's gone off the radar a little bit. I think Victor's just, he is enigmatic, isn't he? He's either very on or he's very off.
Yes. So maybe this might be his resurgence in a match play. Marcus Fraser, he's a good putter. He's playing.
Yeah.
James Morrison, he's had a good year. Thomas Dietrich, he's one of your favourites. You're going to tip him.
Well, I'm not giving away my tip just yet.
And you'll tip him.
Keep going.
Tom Lewis, maybe. Xander Lombard, the South African, he's played pretty good stuff. Richard Bland's there. Maybe this match play format
could be the breakthrough
could
format.
Provide the big breakthrough for Richard Bland. There's a Frenchman there who I like. He's not played brilliant this season. Roman Wattel, I've been watching him for a few years now. Good ball striker, but never won an event. So not had a great season. So maybe, again, match play just might be the making of him.
Marcel Seams had some pretty good stuff recently. That it's actually
wide open.
Wide open. It is wide open.
Wide open.
Anyone who's teeing it up there must be thinking, do you know what? It's a little bit different.
That's right.
I can just do one, get through this round, you could see yourself there on Sunday afternoon.
I agree with you. Any it could turn any of these players. There's a lot of guys fighting for their card there, by the way, as well, and trying to get into the final series as well. So there's a lot to play for all these players.
So with that information that you have,
are we going for tips now?
Well, I was just thinking you might like to regale us with who you might.
I'll go for players who I followed a bit this year, who I think's playing very well, hits the ball pretty long way, and is a very good putter. I've played with him a few times as well. Bradley Dredge be my pick.
Yeah, very good. I can see. I mean, you mentioned some of the people that have had good seasons so far. And, of course, Paul Laurie would love to play well in his own event, wouldn't he?
Wouldn't he just? Is that your tip, then?
No. I'm going to go for, well, you mentioned good putters.
This particular player is packing his case as we talk.
He'll
have to unpack in a minute. Who is it?
Paul Dunne.
Ah, yes. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
That's a good pick.
I'm going to go for Paul Dunne to win in a match play situation.
Yeah, I can see that.
He's a very efficient player.
He is, yeah.
So it's my Paul Dunne. We're going for Great Britain and Ireland here, aren't we? My Paul Dunne versus your Bradley Dredge.
My Welshman.
Your Welshman, yeah.
From the Valleys.
Yeah, from the... It's a principality, isn't it, Wales?
Principality.
Indeed it is. Excellent. Fiji International, also running along at the same time in a different part of the world. What's the thing you think of when you think of Fiji? Because you just asked me that question when we were not on air.
The Truman Show.
Is that what you think of?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think, because he was trying to get to Fiji.
Because he wanted to go there.
He was trying to get to Fiji and they wouldn't let him go. But try sanction this event with the Asia Tour. Australasian Tour as well. It's a long way, isn't it?
Well, it's played at the beautiful Natodola Bay, Jamie and Fiji, so it'll have a holiday feel to it, but who's playing?
Well, it might have a holiday feel, but quite serious golf going on, Rob,
for
a lot of these players. Big opportunity.
Winner's exemption.
Winner's exemption is the big thing that a lot of the boys there be playing for. But Brett Rumford there, winner this year. Andrew Doat's been playing some good stuff. Ryan Fox from New Zealand been playing very well lately. Bashara Kongwat Mai, he lost to Brett Rumford in that Perth International. Good young Thai talents. The big hitting Scott Henn, Yuhun Wang, Su Min Lee, they're winners on the European Tour. Plus, you've got some of the older generation, Vijay Singh, let's not forget. He's there along with Angel Cabrera and Mike Weir. So it's a good mixed field. And if I'm going to take a pick, I've got to go with form. I've got to go with Andrew Doat.
I'm going to counter that. I can't have Brant Snedeker because he won it last year, but he hasn't gone across to defend his win. So I'm going to go with Ryan Fox.
Good pick.
Hits the ball an awfully long way.
Yeah, but he could be playing front row for New Zealand if he wasn't playing golf. He's a solid lad.
So, Jamie, just to recap, you've gone for, in Fiji,
Andrew Doat.
And I've gone for Ryan Fox. And I've countered with Paul Dunne at the Saltire against your
Bradley Dredge.
Excellent. That's it for now. Next week, we will look back at the action from the Fiji International and the Soltau Energy Paul Laurier match play to find a Robert Lee double in the tipping stakes and look ahead to the Made in Denmark. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And do leave us a review if you're downloading the podcast from iTunes. But for now, from Jamie Spence.
Goodbye, everybody.
And myself, Robert Lee, it's goodbye.